Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, here in the month of April, we have been talking about bringing children to Jesus. We've been very excited about the relaunch of our Bible classes. We've had a couple of weeks where there has just been a great buzz around here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. Worship assemblies are special, but there's nothing quite like Bible class. And so in episode one of this little five-part series, we offered some encouragement to parents. And last Friday, we tried to encourage teachers. Today, we thought you and I would just kind of share personally, draw some lessons from some teachers who helped us along the way.
And what we're focusing on is not so much school teachers or coaches, but Bible class teachers. Right. People that left an impression upon our souls, people that have helped us. And, you know, I'll admit, first of all, there's a long line for me. I mean, there's so many people. And to this, we need to understand that I still have teachers today. Okay. Most of them are not older than I am because I'm so old. But even today, I was listening to a sermon of a younger preacher. I baptized this guy years ago, and I'm just listening to him sermon. I said, man, I didn't know that. He's teaching me. And so the learning process never ends. And what we realize is we look at things and all of us stand upon the shoulders of someone else. There's not a person among us who's a follower of Jesus that did not have somebody to encourage them, to help them, to show them things. So many teachers, so many preachers, so many brethren that just filled our life with goodness. And that's a reflective thing we need all to take account of. We need to realize that I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today had it not been those people who believed in you and gave you that chance. And that's what we're going to talk about. But for me, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, specifically, we want to look not just at preachers. You know, we have both learned so much from preachers, but we want to look past the gospel meeting announcements and names on the bulletin and everything and get into the classroom. Maybe some people who would never preach a sermon, never hold a gospel meeting, outside of those who had the privilege of being taught by them, their names may not be very well remembered.
Absolutely, and this is true of this congregation, it's true of almost all the congregations, is that there's just men and women who just love the Lord and they want to help others learn, and they're not known. They're not known by very many people, but they make generational differences for me, for you. So for me personally, we go back to the 1960s. You were non-existent. Okay. 1960s, Indianapolis, Emerson Avenue. And that's the congregation I grew up at. And there are three people that there's several there, but there are three people that have always stood out in my mind. First one is Audrey Clark. Now, Audrey is now on the other side. And in fact, the interesting thing about Audrey is her great-granddaughter is married to one of my sons.
Wow.
And, you know, way back then, who would have ever known? Another would have been May Hoggett, always just a dear, dear teacher to me. And then Charles Crawford. Charles is just a unique person and just very devoted to teaching the Lord. And what I see in all three of them, and this is why of all the teachers I had, I picked out these three, there's a thread that connected all three of them at Emerson Avenue, and that is they were kind. We, you know, as young as we were sometimes silly, sometimes we weren't serious, sometimes we just, but they were just patient and kind with us. Secondly, they just loved what they were doing. You could see in the details that they had and how much interest they put into each of us. And then the accuracy of teaching God's word. I remember particularly with Brother Crawford when he'd have us kind of recite verses. You couldn't be close enough. You had to get it. You had to get it. And that accuracy is so important. If you, you know, close doesn't count, they say, except horseshoes and hand grenades. Well, scriptures is not one of those things that's in that list. You either say God's word or you don't say God's word. And that always left an impression upon me, that just to read it and to know it. And what a difference they made in my life. Never ever, when I was back there at Emerson Avenue, did I think as a young man, I'm going to grow up and be a preacher someday. That didn't cross my mind. And especially with Audrey Clark and Mae Hoggett, I was just a kid, little kid. And I who knows what I was going to be. But that impression has stayed with me.
Yeah. And you think about the parents who made sure that you got there to be in those classes. You know, we talked to parents directly a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's worth reminding that we can have the most devoted, God-loving, children-adoring Bible class teachers, but unless students get in those classrooms, a lot's going to be missed. No doubt. For me, I thought of two, and like you, I could add to quite a list, but I thought of one when I was growing up at Riverside Drive in Nashville, Tennessee. Mrs. Burton was the way that I always knew her, and as I think to not the 60s, but the 80s, not that long ago, or not that far after, I think of Mrs. Burton, and I was in elementary school. But besides my parents, she is the one that comes to my mind at that age that just really made the Bible come alive. And as I think about all of the techno tools that we have today, you know, the idea of having a home computer at that point or a PowerPoint presentation or anything like that was far, far off. And yet I remember this woman working hard. It was clear that she had prepared all sorts of things long before class started to make sure that we were engaged. And like you, when I think of Mrs. Burton, I think of kindness. I think of attention. I think of making an effort to make each one of us as her Bible class students feel special. And I mean, here I am now, nearly 40 years later, and I have vivid memories of being in her classroom. The other one for me was when I was a teenager in Plainfield, Indiana. Kenny Flays, Mrs. Burton has passed on to her reward, but Kenny is still very much alive and serving the Lord. But out of all of the Bible class teachers that I had, Kenny made the Bible practical to me as a teenager. It was one of the first times, if not the first time, that I really remember sitting in a Bible class and feeling like, okay, these things that I have heard all of my life connect with everyday real life. And Shelley, my wife, and I have talked about Kenny on several different occasions. His daughter was actually the flower girl in our wedding, and so we cross paths with the Flays family every once in a while. And I've tried in feeble ways to let him know how formative his Bible classes were. But they got me thinking as a teenager about, okay, how am I going to choose to apply this in my life? And very much like you, as a teenager, it was hard for me to imagine being where I am now, doing what I'm privileged to do. I had no idea, really, at that point, what I wanted to do with my life. And I'm sure that Kenny, as he looked at that group of teenage boys and girls, he couldn't dream of where all of us would go. But the common thread in all of this are people who did what they could. They were busy. They had their own lives. In Kenny's case, I know he was doing a lot of traveling for business in and out of town. But these were people who sacrificed time and effort to connect the living Word of God to little hearts, and it made a big difference.
And to our listeners, if you've never done that, just take a moment and just think about your life. Think about the teachers that helped you spiritually. Again, we're not talking about school teachers, and we're not talking about coaches. We're talking about biblically. And, you know, what a difference they made in your life. And some of us, as I said, may not be where we are today had it not been there. The great effort they went. And, you know, this makes us think about what we're doing today. Someday, years from now, if the Lord allows, somebody may put our name in that list. Here's somebody that I remember who taught my Bible class, or here's somebody who made a difference in me. And what do they remember about you? And how you took the time, how you made every class as special as you could make it, and how important those things are. And so it's that legacy. The names that we named today, okay, they're not teaching anymore. Some of them are already on the other side. They're beyond the ability of teaching today. But now it's our turn to teach, and we're doing that. And someday it will be others' turn to teach. And we keep doing that and doing that. And that's the legacy we have within the kingdom. Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that he was to teach others who would teach the same thing. It's that passing of the baton. And that's so important. That's really part of the backbone within the local congregation is we have current teachers, but we need to be raising up new teachers. We need to be looking at these little kids that we're teaching right now. Someday they may be right there teaching others down the road. And those are just important things that we keep before us.
Yeah, you use this word legacy. In many ways, the idea of passing that baton is not just from generation to generation, but even in some special cases, almost like a spiritual father or mother to a spiritual child. You read about Paul referring to Timothy as my child in the faith. And Paul was not Timothy's biological father. And yet he regarded Timothy like a spiritual child. He said the same thing to Titus. John, we just read 3 John in our daily Bible reading program. John says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And he's not talking about his biological kids there. He's talking about people that he has had the privilege of sharing the gospel with, and they, that next generation, have allowed that life-giving seed to sink deep into their hearts. It's changed their lives, and now they've got the opportunity to share it with the next generation.
And one of the names I named, May Hoggett, several years later, I was probably 19 years old, she and her husband, Richard, took me out to this little bitty place. I mean, I don't think I could find it today. It's way out in the sticks. And I was preaching that day. And they had made arrangements for me to preach. And, you know, the whole way there, the whole way back, just encouraging me. And I know it was a terrible sermon. I was so green is what I was doing. But what I see from that is, okay, I was no longer in her classes, okay? I was a lot older now. But she was still the teacher. She was still the encourager. All through that part of my life, she was there. And that just meant so much for me. And again, we see this every year within congregations as we move kids up from one grade level to the next grade level. And maybe you're done teaching this child, but in many ways, you never are.
Yeah.
You never are because personally, and just little things you do, little things you sin can just make such an impression upon this person. Years and years later, it can really make a difference in their life.
We would really encourage you to remember that the next time that a deacon or a shepherd comes and maybe asks you if you would be willing to try your hand at this. Maybe in the best of circumstances, sit down with an experienced teacher and have a mentoring sort of thing that we're trying to build here at Charlestown Road, where maybe you've never done this before, but if you've listened to the last 15 minutes and you imagine that being able to be said of you because someone extended the opportunity, they asked you if you would be willing, and it's outside of your comfort zone, before you say no, or before you say, well, not now, but maybe later, think about those little hearts that are being shaped in those Bible classes and the way that you could have some sort of an impact.
And here we have two preachers today. Combined, the two of us have preached for a total of over 60 years. And where did that go? Well, it came from our homes. It came from Bible class teachers that made a difference.
Absolutely.
It really did.
Every Friday in April, we've tried to emphasize in a variety of ways, bringing children to Jesus is not wasted effort. And we appreciate you listening even to this episode. We've got two more, Lord willing, in April before we switch gears. Next Friday, Roger, we're not just going to look at children's classes, but Bible classes in a more broad sense. And you and I are just going to reflect what I wish every student in Bible class knew.
And that's just going to take us to really the purpose of why we're teaching. Yeah. And that will help us as we go. That we really hope you come and join with us as we engage in that. It should be a very good discussion as we talk about, again, the value of Bible classes. It's just a wonderful, wonderful tool. They help the home. They help the church. We need to be a part of it.
Maybe there is someone who really impacted you on the Bible class front, and this is a little episode that you could share with them as a means of expressing appreciation. If it's been an encouragement to you, we would love you to share it. In the meantime, thanks for listening to this episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. We hope that in a small way it has helped you set your mind on things above, given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.